Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take WFAN to church just like your dad did. Download the free Odyssey app today and listen to The Fan.
All right, 108, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019, coming off opening day. A 4-2 victory for the New York Yankees, a 3-1 loss to the Houston Astros for the New York Mets. Mets right back at it today. Yankees have to wait a day before Nestor Cortez makes his Yankee Stadium reappearance, this time as a former Yankee and a current Milwaukee Brewer. All right, we'll get to some things. I want to talk about Evan and Sal in a little bit and the Juan Soto at bat, but I do want to get to your calls. We haven't taken many. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike and Randolph. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Long good, how are you, buddy?
Time. How you doing? Good, good. Just driving back from the Prudential Center. Just a couple blowout basketball games tonight. And I don't know, for whatever reason, all I could think about is Aaron Judge's at bat today, and I just saw some ridiculous strike calls, and I was just wondering your take on when they should, if it was up to you, if you would implement the challenge thing now, or if, like, you're looking forward to it, or what's your take on it? Because I just feel like some of these players are getting some crazy calls right now.
Yeah, listen, he's been the most the low strike on Aaron Judge has probably been he's been hindered more or affected more by the low strike call than any other batter at any other part of the zone in Major League Baseball. There's no doubt. He gets consistently, and it's funny too, because Giancarlo Stanton's pretty much the same height. We see other hitters that are similar in stature who don't get affected as much as Aaron Judge. And I'm going to let you go, Mike. I'm sorry. But the sound on the line was just too much. But thank you for the call. So he's been affected by that pitch more than anybody else has been affected by any other part of the zone from umpires. So I do like I'm surprised, you know, Aaron Boone has said that he doesn't like it. He said it during spring training, and then just in his first interview of the year with John Boy and Jake on Talking Yanks, he said again that he doesn't like it, that it takes too much time. He even mentioned an interesting debate about the idea that it could cause a problem in the clubhouse about guys who consistently, you know, waste their challenges on, like, oh, I'm sick of you always taking all the challenges and you're wrong half the time. And I'm like, I didn't even think about that. So depending on how many you would get if they implement it, like if they give a certain number and the same guy keeps doing it every game, could it, you know, cause an issue in the clubhouse? I didn't even think about that angle. I don't even know how I think about it, but I'm just saying as a player, like, and Jake from John Boy and Talking Yanks made the point, like, I would think Aaron Boone, the player, wouldn't mind the idea that a 3-2 fastball at his ankles was called strike three if he could have a chance to review that. So I think you want to get the calls right. I mean, that's pretty much the baseline. If this is the automated strike zone is probably coming somewhat soon where it's going to get taken out of the umpire's hand and every pitch is going to be called by the computers. But I don't mind this at all. I have no problem with this. I want to get the calls right. And I think I was reading that it takes up, I was reading stats on it. Over the course of spring training, the challenges were 52% overturned. So 52% of the time, the batter or pitcher was correct and overturned a wrong call. 52% of the time. Over the course of the last couple years in the minor leagues, it's been 50. So it's pretty much been a 50-50 proposition, a little bit better than that this year's in spring training at the major league level. And it's taken 13 seconds off the game per challenge. Every challenge adds 13 seconds to the game. I think for 13 seconds, we can wait to see if the call is right. I have no problem with it. I do hate, this comes with replay, and this is something else Boone said about it. It comes with replay, it comes with, like, if there's ever a strike three called at the end of the game, you know you're going to review it. Like, and so you have to wait. And I hate that, because I like the, like, if there's a play at the plate or a play on the base paths to end a game, you, or any kind of big play in a big moment, you want to, like, yeah! But you know in the back of your mind, wait, hold on, are they going to challenge? Like, I hate that. I want to just to be able to react to it and know what happened. But you always got to, like, hold your breath and wait for the call and wait for the replay. So the idea that, yeah, on a cold third strike in a big moment, there's always going to be a challenge late in the game, sure. But it takes 13 seconds, and don't you want to get it right? So I have no problem with it. Is there a better way to institute it? Is there a better way to handle it? There probably always will be. There is no perfect solution to this. There is no perfect solution to figure out the human error, right? Other than eliminate the humans. And nobody wants to do that. It just, it sounded wrong saying it. I felt like some sort of James Bond villain or something. Who wants that? Eliminate the humans. So I don't hate it. I don't love it. I don't need it. How could you say no? That's how I feel about it. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I don't need it, but I wouldn't say no. Let's go to Thomas in Staten Island. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Chris. I was at the game today, and I was actually there when I saw you and Sean sharing the ice cream.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, and I said hi to you right after the segment finished.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to talk to you.
It was really nice meeting you. Yeah, you too.
Thank you. Good to meet you.
Yeah, and yeah, you too. And so my question for you was, I thought Ben Rice looked pretty good today.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, yeah, and I remember on the Evan Atiku show is when I found out that Giancarlo Stanton's, like, taking swings now.
Yeah.
And all day I was thinking, like, if Ben Rice does good, but Giancarlo Stanton comes back earlier than expected. Mm-hmm. Where does Ben Rice fit on the team?
Yeah.
Or is that looking too far in the future?
Yeah, I mean, it is looking too far in the future, Thomas. I can't worry about it now, but it's a valid question. And I said this before the other day, the idea that if Ben Rice hits the way he did in spring, and again, today he drew a 4-pitch walk where nothing was really close, and then he banged one off the wall and made a really smart base running play. It looked like a single. He was watching it the whole way. They bobbled it in right, and he took second base. So, good day. You're right. Good day. There's no way you don't play Stanton when Stanton's available. Like, there's just no way you don't do that. So, and I do think if he plays... If Ben Rice plays up to his capabilities as a left-handed hitter, where in this division particularly, there are very few left-handed pitchers, and with his ability to run a little bit, his ability to, you know, do what he does, if he can be the player he was in spring or be the player he was in the minor leagues or even close to it, he might be a better all-around offensive player right now than Stanton. And he brings the idea of being able to be your backup first baseman and be your emergency catcher. So
that's true.
He's an emergency catcher.
He got stronger too.
He put on like 15 pounds of muscle. And thank you for the call, Thomas. He put on like 15 pounds of muscle. He's hitting the ball harder. Here's what I'll say. I think Ben Rice is on the roster if he hits. I don't think they would find someone else to take off the roster, because theoretically he does do multiple things. He's not just a DH and incapable of anything else. He's not a utility infielder because he can't play second or third or anything like that, but he can play first and he can catch. And with the way, you know, as much as we all like Ascara and all the great story that he was, the Uber driver and the substitute teacher and, you know, 30 years old making the roster and the videos of him, you know, talking to his mother, we all love it. I don't know what kind of player. He's had a great spring, but I don't know what kind of player he is. And if you look at this team, you know, on the days he plays, you're going to want to pinch hit Wells at times. You can pinch hit Wells and then pinch run for Wells, knowing that you have an emergency catcher in Ben Rice. Like, so he provides a little bit of a cushion as a extra third, an extra catcher and a backup first baseman. But when Stanton, and that was the report, that Stanton is responding well to his injections, that he's showing signs of healing, and he's even starting to swing a bat, and it could be earlier than we thought. Now, I have a hard time, like, this is how you view Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton is not a Yankee until he's a Yankee. That's it. It's very simple. That's how you view most injured players, certainly Stanton. Stanton is not here until he's here. I'm not thinking about him. I'm not planning for his return. I'm not trying to wonder. Like, that question you just asked, I understand why you asked it. I'm not trying to knock it. It's a valid question. If you really are a Ben Rice fan and he hits, it will sort of present the problem or at least the question for the New York Yankees. So I understand why you asked it, and it's a valid question, but I got to be totally honest with you. I don't even want to think about it. I don't think the Yankees should think about it. I don't think it should be a topic of discussion. I don't think it should be thought on, ruminated on, pondering any other, you know, I could take out the thesaurus and think of another word that means thinking. It shouldn't even be considered. Giancarlo Stanton is not a Yankee until he's available to play. And then they will make a decision. Much like the rotation at the start of the year. What are you going to do with Stroman? What are you going to do with Stroman? What are you going to do with Stroman? Well, he's our third starter. I mean, that's like, so it's very up in the air. And now I did hear something as I was driving in listening to Keith, and someone mentioned it. They did introduce injured players at the opening, you know, ceremony, whatever. They introduced with the roster. They introduced Gerrit Cole, who came out with his arm in a brace. They introduced Luis Gil. They introduced even Jonathan Loaisiga, who isn't going to be here until June. They did not introduce Giancarlo Stanton, unless I missed it. But I'm pretty sure I didn't. I was standing right there, and I feel like he would have gotten enormous, even though people are disappointed he's injured, after that performance in the postseason last year, I would imagine Giancarlo Stanton would get an enormous standing ovation. And I'm told, again, I didn't watch the game. I forgot to DVR it on ESPN, so I didn't even really, I just saw some of the highlights and watched the Yankee postgame when I got home for a little bit before heading back out here. I don't know if he was in the with the team or not. I'm assuming he was. So it is weird that other injured players who aren't on the roster were introduced and Giancarlo Stanton wasn't, if he was at the game. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't know what it's about. I don't know. But someone mentioned that on as I was driving in, and I thought to myself, you know what? That's right. They introduced injured players who aren't on the roster. They introduced Cole, Loaisiga, and Heal. Now, I'm trying to think if they have DJ LeMahieu wasn't there, wasn't introduced either. I don't think DJ LeMahieu was in, only pitchers. And I don't know if DJ was with the team or not, but I don't believe he was introduced. Stanton wasn't introduced. And someone said watching on TV that Stanton was in the dugout. That is a little odd. I don't know why. I don't know what to make of it. But Stanton, listen, I want him back. He's a force. He's a threat. He lengthens the lineup. There's no doubt. The second Stanton is available, I want him in the lineup. But if Ben Rice is hot, I understand why you could make the case that the lineup could even be better, especially against all the right-handed pitchers we face, especially considering Stanton goes through these funks where it looks like he doesn't remember how to swing a bat. And, I mean, you need him for the postseason because he's been that kind of guy who can turn it on. So because of that and because of his contract and because of who he is, the minute he's healthy enough to play, he plays. But I think there is still a role for Ben Rice on this team.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, 127. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We got you for another few hours on our five-hour midnight ride, taking you all the way to the warm-up show. All right, so let's take a little dive into the world of Evan Roberts and the Rico Bronya. So I guess someone sent me this audio. I'm not sure when Evan did his Rico after the game, the reaction to the game. But again, this is a short clip. Unless he predicts the future, this is a reaction video from today's Met game. And it's funny because Evan asked a question last week about if Juan Soto gets off to a slow start, when or will the Met fans start to boo him? And obviously, this is a already game one. It comes down to him in the ninth after the Mets rally down 3 runs. They load the bases down 3-0 and really doing nothing all. The eighth inning, they have a rally that ends with Nimmo flying out. Then they have the ninth inning rally, which is, three walks, right? I'm trying to remember now. I was listening to it in the car. But anyway, Acuna has a great at-bat, leads to a walk. They have bases loaded, nobody out. They get a strikeout, a sacrifice fly from Lindor. And with runners at the corners, up comes Juan Soto with the game on the line. So, obviously, here it is. This is why you got Juan Soto. You paid $765 million for Juan Soto for these exact moments. He always comes through. He's Juan Soto. And he gets a 3-0 count. And he ends up striking out on a slider that he chased. And that's part of it, too. He chased a pitch. That's Juan Soto's bread and butter. That's where Juan Soto lives. Juan Soto is known for his eye. That, as great as the rest of his game is, as great a complete hitter as he is, what his specialty is on base and knowing the strike zone as well as any hitter who ever lived. It's him and Barry Bonds are probably, in my lifetime, the two best, know the strike zone, don't go outside the strike zone hitters that I've ever seen is Barry Bonds and Juan Soto. And so for him to chase that pitch after being up 3-0, on a day where the Yankees won, Clay Holmes wasn't all that good. Yankees, Mets lose their the opening game. Yankee fans, that's, and I know every Met fan is thinking it. All the Met fans who've been cocky and talking about being the big brother and everything like that, they understand that the Yankees had already won. Here comes up Juan Soto. Juan Soto strikes out. I actually saw a video from Frank the Tank, and his first reaction is he's pissed off, and then he goes, "Perfect day for the Yankees." Like, that's, I know that's how Met fans think. I know you. I know you. That's right, you. I know you. And so in his podcast with Rico Bronya, I'm curious how he felt. I'm sure Evan's going to be the voice of reason and just say, hey, it's Juan Soto. What are you going to do? He's a great player. He got beat by a very good pitcher. It happens. I wouldn't worry about it. So let's hear. It's a short but concise and pretty much, clip that tells you exactly how Evan's thinking today.
And Juan Soto, wake the hell up. We can't be having these weak swings at sliders, 3-2 in the dirt, to lose a game to the Astros.
Well, that's pretty clear. Now, is there context to that conversation? I don't give a damn. You know how many times Evan's taken me out of context? You know how many times? So I don't know. I honestly haven't heard it, that someone sent me that clip. But Juan Soto, wake the hell up. You can't be chasing sliders in the dirt to lose a game to the Houston Astros. One more time, if you have it. I want to hear Evan one more time. Hey, this is a message directly to Juan Soto.
And Juan Soto, wake the hell up. We can't be having these weak swings at sliders, 3-2 in the dirt, to lose a game to the Astros.
Wake the hell up, Juan Soto, you bum. Evan asked the question himself, when will they start to turn? Well, even after having a game where I believe he gets on base 3 times, has his first hit as a Met in the first inning with a base hit up the middle, but he strikes out swinging with the game on the line to end it in the ninth, and wake the hell up, Juan Soto, can't be swinging at sliders in the dirt to end a game to the Houston Astros. 1-0 Yankee fans, and I'm not one who plays into it often. I'm really not, believe it or not. But today was a day, you have to admit, baseball's back and the whole offseason has been Met Yankee. It's been the whole offseason.
Yankee fans trying to either, the Yankee fans who don't hate themselves and hate the organization and hate Brian Cashman and hate Aaron Boone, have been trying to, hey, we went to the World Series. We're still better than you. We're still the Yankees. You'll never be the Yankees. You're a little brother. No, we're big brother now. We spend more money. We stole your player. We're you know, our offseason, we're better. We have better fundamentals. We have better farm system. We have a better GM. We have a better this. We have a better owner. He's family oriented. Everyone wants to come play here. That was I just gave you a 30-second recap of the baseball offseason in this town. And so for game one to be that, to be the Yankees with a nice, pretty little win, although it did get exciting at the end, to be fair. But Devin Williams strikes out, Chirios, and Yelich to end the game and get out of a jam. And Juan Soto can't come through for the Mets. 1-0 New York Yankee fan on the season in our ever constant battle of 162 game season right here on the Fan. And then I couldn't help but also think of someone else. And me and Fliegelman were just talking about this. You know what I couldn't help but think about? As I watch Juan Soto swing and miss, the same person that's on the television right now as I've left on SNY, the great Sal Licata, who hosted the show, the midday show with BT today live from Yankee Stadium. And I love Sal. He's my dear friend. We go way back to when he was wearing my shoes at the Borgata in Atlantic City all those years ago. Love my guy, Sal. But I remember last year, Sal getting on someone for trying to draw walks. Juan Soto. So I'm curious, as he was very adamant about Juan Soto, while Judge was slumping, looking for walks, not looking to drive the baseball. I wonder how Sal would have felt if Juan Soto had walked there and left it up to Pete Alonso, and Pete Alonso would have flown out to end the game. I wonder how he would have felt about Juan Soto not swinging at that pitch and not trying to do damage and looking for a walk. I wonder. I think we are overthinking this Juan Soto at bat. It's hilarious to me. Do you think he was pressing? I think a great pitcher made a great pitch. That's what I think. I think Juan Soto on his best day, gets out 6 times out of 10. I think it's not an easy game, and I think one of the better relievers made a great pitch. And it happens. It's just kind of funny that it happened on opening day after the offseason we just had, that it comes down to Juan Soto in that final moment. Sometimes you can't script baseball, man. It's awesome. But I do wonder if he would have walked there, if Sal would have had a problem with Juan Soto looking for a walk as he did last year when he was looking for a walk with the New York Yankees. And then that begs the question, is Juan Soto, and here's the, and listen, the report came out about, which one, may you ask, because there was a ton of them, but obviously the story's coming about Juan Soto and the courting of Juan Soto and the back and forth dynamic of bringing Juan Soto to the Mets. And one of the things was he flat out said to Steve Cohen, I need protection. I want protection. And I'm just curious, it's day one at bat, but I'm, you know, to get back to this looking for a walk thing, last year he knows even in a slump, he's got Aaron Judge behind him. Is that different than Pete? And he's asked in the post game, and he goes, no, I have no problem taking a walk there. You know, Pete's a powerful guy. I love to have Pete, but he's not Juan Soto, and he's not Aaron Judge. So we'll see how it goes from this point on. I don't think Juan Soto is going to change who he is, no matter who's hitting behind him. But day one, at least it asked the question, because with the Yankees, he didn't swing and miss at that pitch. And in fact, this exact same situation happened with the New York Yankees last year in the same building versus the same pitcher. And as a New York Yankee, he laced one to left field and drove in Gleyber Torres to give the Yankees the lead. And today, for the New York Mets, a swing and a miss. And for one shining day, and who knows, this might be the last day the Yankees are on top. But after that offseason, I got to tell you, even as someone who doesn't play this game too often, and quite honestly, I was in the car. This is the honest to God truth as a Yankee fan. I'm in the car listening to the game with every ounce of my body. Believe this or not, with every ounce of my body, I am in the car and I am rooting for the New York Mets to win. That is the honest to God truth. If you think I dislike the Mets more than I dislike the Astros just because they signed Juan Soto and Lugauer calls himself a generational talent, you are nuts. I hate the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros, I think, are going to have a down year, but may very well contend and compete with the Yankees in the wild card standings, for all I know, if the Yankees don't win the division. Like, they're a team the Yankees are competing with. The Mets are not. So I promise you, I am in the car with every ounce of my being hoping that Nimmo comes through with a base hit in that moment, hoping that the Mets rally and take the lead and beat the Houston Astros with every bit of me. Until Juan Soto stepped to the plate. And I have to admit, if the Yankees had lost the game, I would have felt even more strongly at this point. But this is how I'm handling in the car, listening to Howie Rose, who is at, and I love Howie, he's the absolute best. He's one of the great broadcasters of our time. There's no doubt about it. Howie, and I'll even say, like, the Mets have had both radio and TV, just an incredible broadcast team, always. They are, I think they're the best in the business. And I love the Yankee guys and John Sterling and Susan Waldman, obviously historic. But, you know, the Met broadcast team has always been phenomenal. But even Howie is like referencing last year and the magic of last year. And I'm like, Howie, it's over. It's not last year. So as all the magic talk is happening on the radio and Juan Soto steps to the plate, part of me, and I'm going to be honest, part of me enjoyed the swing and miss. I have to admit. It was short-lived. Now that it's over, I wish he would have come through because I want them to beat the Astros. I truly do. I was rooting for them the whole time. Now, if the Yankees had lost that game and Devin Williams blew it in the ninth, I'd be rooting for misery. So I could come on the radio and have misery all over you and me. Because if the Yankees blew that game, I would have been pissed off. Thankfully, they did not. I was in a better frame of mind. And I was rooting for the Mets the entire time I was in the car. But the idea that I knew what it was, I knew the dynamic, I knew all the nonsense I had taken personally on Twitter and social media and on the calls, like the idea that final at bat came to Juan Soto and he struck out, I kind of went, and laughed a little bit. I have to admit, I'm not a perfect human. I do stand by the fact that I'm rooting for the Mets. I was rooting for the Mets the entire time in the car. And when Nimmo came up in that spot in the eighth, I was absolutely hoping Nimmo hit one down the line, without question. I want the Astros to lose. But in that final moment, as a Yankee fan who's dealt with all of this, who dealt with Juan Soto leaving, we found out earlier today Ben Rice took his number, like the whole thing, the offseason, everything, it comes down to him in that final moment. I knew what would have happened if he came through, the obnoxious Met fan. So I got to be honest with you. For one fleeting moment, I'm not rooting for injuries. I'm not hoping, like, you know, I hope Juan Soto has a great year. I truly do. I have nothing against him. He made a decision. He wasn't a lifelong Yankee. He was there for 1 year. I mean, he didn't really, I mean, I disagree with his decision, and I don't know why he made it necessarily. I would have stuck with the Yankees if I were him, but I'm not him. He made a decision for what he felt wanted to do, and it's not like he's Judge or anybody who's been here for years and years and years. He was here for 1 year, chose another team. God bless him. And I genuinely hope we have a Subway Series that the Yankees kick the crap out of the Mets, but I hope we have that Subway Series. I root for the Mets, and I certainly root for them over the Houston Astros. And if you don't believe me, then you don't know me. But in that one moment, that brief moment, I wasn't sure what I wanted from Juan Soto, and when he struck out, I kind of chuckled. I have to admit, I don't want to be a bad guy. Met fans, believe what you will. Some of you think I'm fair to you. Some of you think I'm a Yankee shill who hates on the Mets. I like the Mets. I'm rooting for the Mets. I was rooting for the Mets the entire day, looking up at the scoreboard, rooting for the Mets. I have Clay Holmes on my fantasy team. I am rooting for the Mets up until that one moment. if it wouldn't have come to Juan Soto, if Juan Soto would have walked there, I would have absolutely rooted for a Pete Alonso home run. Without question. If Soto walks there, I absolutely root for a Alonso home run. But in that moment, as a Yankee fan, I can't deny it. I hope Brett in Long Island's listening. I'm not rooting for injuries. I'm not rooting for him to fail most of the time. Opening day, game comes down to his bat after the offseason we just had. I have to admit, I chuckled. Let's go to Tim in Virginia Beach. What's up, Tim?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Lifelong Met fan, but I have to say, I hadn't heard Evan's reaction on the Rico, and when you played it as a lifelong Met fan, it pissed me off hearing Evan said, wake up to Juan Soto.
I know.
Game one of 162.
I hope. Yeah, listen, Evan, he said it. There's no doubt about it. I didn't edit that. Someone sent it to me. It's unedited as far as I know. I mean, listen, between me and you, I don't know the context of it. Maybe he was being a little sarcastic, but I don't care. He's taken me out of context a million times.
He might have been, but I know my Met fan buddies, man. That's how they are.
Game one.
Dude reached base three times. He's going to bat 315, base at a 430 clip. Yep. Like, he's the man.
He's amazing.
At bat against Hader.
Yep.
He might have done the job last year for the Yankees, but that's a 50-50 at best. Means you'd get on base 50% of the time.
For Soto, it's probably better than that once the count hits 3-0, to be totally honest. That's how good he is at 3-0. I'd probably put it at better than 50-50.
Agreed.
3-2, it's probably a little less than 50-50. But still, I expected it when he was 3-0, I thought for sure he was getting on base. Why attack the zone, Juan Soto, even though, you know, it's lefty-lefty and Alonso can do damage still. I mean, you're not going to mess around with Juan Soto. So I thought for sure he was going to walk. But yeah, you're 100% right, man. This guy's incredible. We all know he's incredible. It's one at bat. And it's no indication of anything other. It's not an indication of him trying to do too much. It's not an indication of him, you know, not feeling like there's good enough protection, so he's got to be the guy. It's not wanting to endear himself to his new team. It's none of that. He got beat by a good pitch. That's it. Juan Soto's an incredible hitter. And most of the time he'll come through, even with the Yankees, you know, or in his previous time, you know, in his great seasons with Washington or San Diego. Guess what? There are at-bats where he doesn't come through. Like, I mean, he was on base three times earlier in the game, so you're 100% right. I can't imagine any Met fan other than just the obvious disappointment of losing the game. But it's certainly not anything to get on him today. Yeah, wake up. I love that. One more time for your listening pleasure. I want to hear Evan Roberts one more time, his message to Juan Soto.
And Juan Soto, wake the hell up. We can't be having these weak swings at sliders 3-2 in the dirt to lose a game to the Astros.
And the more I hear it, I don't know if it is out of context. He sounds legit. There's no sarcasm in his voice. That's him. That's him sending a message to Juan Soto.
Don't talk too much common sense to us Mets fans. I love my Mets. I love my Mets fans. But yeah, too much common sense you're spewing right now.
No, I know. You got it, Tim. Thank you very much. I think you were about to say something else. I thought we were done. I'm sorry, Tim. You can call back if you'd like. Today's a very loose morning. We're going to have some fun. Let you guys talk a little bit. Then I turn on like the post game, and you know they go right into the Baseball Tonight Show with Sal. And Jose Reyes is like, you know, most times he walks there. You know, maybe he's trying to. I'm like, most times he walks there. Like, it's one at bat. It was a really good pitch. Look at the pitch. It was a really good slider. It was probably the best pitch he'd thrown the entire inning. I love it. I love it. I love how we overreact to these games, man. It's one of 162, man. It's one game, but we treat it like it is 162 one-game seasons. That's how we treat this sport. I don't know why, but we do. And I love it. And I'm telling you right now, I know for a fact there are Met fans who already think this is going to be a disastrous contract and he's never going to be as good as he was prior with the Yankees or with Washington, and it's going to be a disaster because that's how it works for the Mets. And then there are Yankee fans right now today who think Devin Williams is a bum closer. He's going to be bad all year. Like, this was a disaster of a trade. Nestor's going to shut them down on Saturday. Like, there's no doubt that's how we are. Victor in Manhattan. What's up, Vic?
Bro, I'm over here talking Met fans off the ledge.
Yeah, the Met fans in your life?
Game of the season.
I know, they're crazy. People are crazy. These baseball fans are nuts. The Met fans in your life, is you have to talk them off the ledge already after game one?
I'm talking them off the bridge, talking them off the ledge of the buildings. They're mentioning Roberto Alomar. They're mentioning Bobby Bonilla. They're mentioning Mo Vaughn.
Oh, my God.
Dude, it's one game. And the guy got on base. Didn't he get on base like three times?
The dude got on base three times, yes. Juan Soto
got
a base hit
and two walks.
They
picked the one time he didn't get on base. Oh, now he's Mo Vaughn and Bobby Bo and Jeff Kent. These guys are such losers. And Evan Roberts is the ringleader. He's the ringleader of the Mets fandom.
Yep.
It's unreal how these are the biggest losers. Basically, from Cleveland to here, they're the biggest losers. No one else can compare with the Mets.
They're the biggest. The actual Met franchise is the biggest loser. All right, hung up. Listen, the fans overreact. That's how we are. Yankee fans are no better. They do the exact same thing. Met fans are just, you know. I you know, it's funny too because I just did this whole rant yesterday. I thought Met fans were uber excited, and I'll tell you the other thing. Like when Evan put out. I think Evan put out his predictions for the season and has the Mets as a wild card team and winning 89 or 88 games. And I saw the reaction from Met fans to that, like, Evan, they won 89 last year and they've added Juan Soto. What are you talking about? So Evan right now, I mean, he's predicting them to not win the division and predicting them to win less than 90 games. He's already yelling at Juan Soto. And, you know, the Met fan, I thought was past this. I'm surprised it's happening already day one. I got to be honest. I'm surprised it's happening already day one. Because I thought with how smart they believe the GM to be, how rich and wonderful and family-oriented the owner is, and it's changed the whole franchise, how much they believe in the manager, the job this team did last season, and the addition of Juan Soto, I really did not think one strikeout in game one would make Met fans question their existence, and it's starting to feel that way. Stan in Rockland, what's up, Stan?
Yeah, how are you?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, so I'm listening to what you were quoting from Evan Roberts. You played their quote.
Well, I'm not quoting, yes. I played Evan Roberts' clip. That's Evan Roberts.
Yeah, the clip. So I was listening when I was listening in the afternoon when he actually said that. And I'm a big Yankee fan, and when I heard what he was saying is that he's saying how long would it take the Mets fan to all of a sudden turn on Juan Soto? And
yes.
He went on to that rant like that.
No.
He wasn't turning on Juan Soto.
No. Unless Evan predicts the future. If I am playing a clip from the afternoon, first of all, I'm looking at it. The video is there and he's from home. So it wasn't the same day he went on the rant about when are they going to boo Juan Soto, because that he did in studio. And he says you can't be swinging at a slider in the dirt to lose to the Astros. So unless he was unless he had clairvoyancy and he predicted the future, that's not from the same rant, not from the same day. This is reaction to the Juan Soto at bat. You know what I'm saying?
He was 100%. But he was saying it on the Mets fan. Like, is it going to take them a month?
Yes.
No. He wasn't saying for day one that any Mets fan is going to turn on.
No, I understand. And I haven't said that. No, when he went on his rant, he was asking the question, how long do you think before Met fans turn on him or boo him if he gets off to a slow start? He never said day one. I don't even know if he made a prediction of when into the season, but he was just asking the question. As happy as the Met fan is that Juan Soto's here, he's making $760 million. He's expected to take all, you know, he's expected to dominate from day one. If he slumps to start the year, how long before the Met fan boos? 100%. I'm not saying he said anything different. That's exactly what he said. But that was last week. The clip I'm playing right now, unless that is a clip sent to me, unless that is a clip sent. Now, again, that rant of Juan Soto and booing was done in this studio. The video that I'm playing that sound from is from his home. And he says slider in the dirt to end the game to lose to the Astros. Like, that is, he did not predict that, I don't think. That's him reacting to the game. That clip must be from today's Rico Bronya. Here, I gotta check it out. I'll get this. But yes, I understand the rant he went on the other day. Yeah. He posted, they did a Rico Bronya 7 hours ago. That's reaction to the swing. Play it one more time. We're gonna play this a lot with Evan here.
And Juan Soto, wake the hell up. We can't be having these weak swings at sliders 3-2 in the dirt to lose a game to the Astros.
Yeah, that is reaction to today. There is no way Evan guessed those circumstances on the rant about Juan Soto and booing. That was a week ago. That was in this studio. That's live from his home. That is reaction to the at-bat. That's clearly a Rico Bronya done after today's opening day. And he is saying, wake the hell up. Can't have those kind of at-bats. Tremendous. Love it. That's where the Met fan is right now. Ken in Queens. What's up, Ken?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up,
buddy? I just wanted to tell you guys, like, a real Met fan is not going to just get down on him one day. Like, I don't understand what these guys are talking about. It's one game, like you're saying.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's one. This is what baseball is, but we overreact to stuff. But here's the thing. Juan Soto was built up as the generational talent worth $760 million. He's the best hitter.
But it was a great pitch.
I understand that. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I think it's absurd. We're breaking it down to whether or not he's trying to do too much. Like, you say that after a month of hitting 200.
Not the first day.
If Juan Soto gets off to a bad start, and thanks for the call, Ken. If Juan Soto, a month in, if we're May 1st and Juan Soto's hitting 220, then we could start asking the question, is he trying to do too much? Is the pressure getting to him? Like, that's when you have that conversation. You don't have that conversation after one half-check swing to end a game when he got on base three times in the game prior? Of course not. But that's the reaction on open, and part of it is, you got to understand, like, this has now been wrapped in to Met Yankee on such a high level. I don't think we've ever, now there's always been the dynamic of Mets Yankees. There's always been that. And hell, there was a Subway Series 25 years ago. So I don't remember the talk of the town all that much. I was too busy dominating high school football to remember. I was too busy dominating high school athletics and winning Athlete of the Year at Cary High School to remember exactly what the talk of the town was or how Met fan, in my high school, it was a significant Yankee Met fan hatred. And the trash talking between us, but I don't remember necessarily. But right now, it's as high a back and forth between the Yankee fan and the Met fan, and the Met fan feels as good as they have felt in a long time. And particularly, not just good about their team, but good about the dynamic of the city. Good about who the better team is in this city. They feel good about who the better draw is, who's the better organization, not even just the better team, who's better run, who's the better organization. Like, it's one thing with the Wilpons to have a pop-up season where everything works and you get to the World Series in 2015 and you're better than the Yankees. Okay, it's nice and we'll crow about it, but it's not the same as having the better organization, being able to outspend them, outsmart them, out everything them. Better, this is how the Met fan feels. Better GM, richer, better owner, better farm system, more stable organization. And the proof is Juan Soto chose them. Oh, and that's why when we talk about why the Met fan is desperate to make it about anything other than money, when you would think that would be good enough, because for years it's, oh, we act like a small market team. We act like we don't spend money. We act like we're the Minnesota Twins. We act like we're the Tampa Bay Rays. It's ridiculous. We should be spending money, blah, blah, blah. Then you get a rich owner, and that was the point. Oh, he's a billionaire. Oh, he runs a hedge fund. This is awesome. And then when he spends the money, you brag about how much money he spends. When he doesn't spend the money, you brag about how smart he is, because billionaires don't spend bad money. Like, the guy can do no wrong. If he spends a lot of money, woohoo, we have the richest owner in baseball. If he doesn't sign someone and doesn't spend the money, well, he didn't become a billionaire by making bad deals, you know? Like, you have it both ways, but he is spending a lot of money. And so for Juan Soto, I would think, hey, screw you, we outspent you. This owner's got deeper pockets, and we outspent you. But that's not good enough. You need it to be because of the family or because the organization is better, because that's what you're dying to say. To have a pop-up here or there, where the Mets have a better, more successful year, it's rare, but it happens. It happened in 2015. You could argue it kind of happened in 2016. Actually, no, it absolutely happened in 2016. The Yankees didn't make the playoffs. So it happened in 15 and 16. That's the last time. But you didn't feel the organization was better. You didn't think the Wilpons were better than the Steinbrenners. You didn't think, you know, Sandy Alderson was necessarily better than Brian Cashman. You didn't think those things. Now you do. Now you do. So even though it's just one at bat, it symbolizes all of what you've been talking about and bragging about all off season long. He's supposed to come through in that moment, and we took that from the New York Yankees. And he didn't come through on day one. And it's a ridiculous overreaction to think anything other than he got beat by a really good pitcher. But that's how the fans react.